Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Eric.
And my name is Sam.
And today we are broadcasting you Psychology of Today for a Smarter Tomorrow. Live from Waterloo on Radio Laurier, you're listening to the Scholars Podcast, the podcast by students for students, helping learners learn. On today's episode, the psychology of the technology that we use. Everyone has a smartphone, and in a social world of identity, everyone needs their smartphone. Social platforms, instant communications, it's all there packed into a beautiful cell phone. But is it weird that we call our cell phones beautiful? Is it weird that we romanticize the ever-smartening cell phone, and does it lead to an addiction? We'll be looking at some articles going through cell phone addictions and what the implications are for us and for the future generations. We'll also be talking about the infosphere, how web communications has evolved, and what it all means in regards to our digital identities. All that coming up, you're going to want to stick around. You're listening to the Scholars Podcast. Okay.
Just do a little quick introduction of us.
Yeah, a little bit.
Haven't heard the show before.
Yeah.
So I'm Sam Cluce. I'm a first-year psychology student at the University of Waterloo.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Eric.
I'm Eric. I'm also a student at the University of Waterloo in the major of psychology, and we met. Actually, in Psych 101.
Psych 101.
That was a good class.
It's a magical place.
It is a magical place. I think for the people who are just tuning in today, may not know about the show. It's a platform and a podcast to kind of talk about psychological discourse and have psychological discourse, I should say, and just talk about what's relevant in the psychology world today.
Specifically for students, like what elements of psychology are most useful for students. So we take all the interesting bits and deliver them to you, so you don't have to do all the reading and classes that we do.
Yeah, we do want to say last week. Last week was a snow day, so we didn't air last week. But the week before that was actually our first episode, our real episode. And it went great. We had Nathan Reeve, who we're very thankful for having on. He's a wellness education coordinator, at Laurier. And he talked about mental health resources and opportunities, and we had a great episode. And we forgot to hit record.
Yeah, that's our bad.
Yeah, our bad. We apologize, Nathan. We hope we can have you on again.
Sorry, Nathan.
Yeah, but let's get started with our episode today.
And we did hit record today.
We did hit record, so this will be up, and it's gonna be a good episode.
Yeah, hopefully. So you want to just start us off, Eric, by introducing the topic?
Absolutely. So what does technology look like today? I'm actually taking an English 108D and what it is. It's digital lives. So it's an English course, but it's kind of talking about our digital lives. We're reading a great book by Simon Lindgren. It's called Digital Media and Society, and it's talking a lot about digital identity. So who are they, what they are, and how many do we have as, you know, students? Mm-hmm. I know growing up, people have different identities based on what kind of social platform that they use. So they'll have one platform, well, they'll have, you know, memes, and they'll have, you know, a bunch of curse words and what have you. And then you also have something like a Facebook that's supposed to be clean and friendly for your grandma to see, right?
Yeah, now that everyone's grandma's on Facebook, I know before, because I'm a bit older, it was a bit more of a free-for-all. But now, I remember there was one point over a few year periods where everyone's mom found out about Facebook and we had to clean it all up.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, and you specifically were talking about how many identities you have on social media.
Yeah.
You have more than one, right, Eric?
Oh, so I actually wrote a piece for that English class, and it was kind of talking about how the average teenager today won't just have one Instagram. They'll have maybe three Instagram accounts just dedicated to them.
Three?
Yeah, three. So one of them being, you know, the main one where they have strangers even following them, and they showcase their best photos after editing and after cropping and what have you. And then they also have a spam account, which is more personal and more vulnerable to exposing to who you really are offline.
Which seems like almost the social media account that you kind of should have to begin with.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, isn't it?
Not to be too idealistic here, but yeah, it's almost like the spam account is what the person is actually like, you know?
Yeah.
All the things they actually do, the unedited pictures, what they look like in the morning, the ridiculous things they get up onto the weekend, not, you know, every single picture has a perfect white balance, you know?
It's a weird thing, the spam account, because I find it happened recently, in the last, maybe when I was in grade 12, so the last year, they really became popular. And it's the weirdest thing because you'll see sides of people if they allow you to accept. Mind you, these spam accounts have like minimal followers.
Yeah.
If they allow you to expect, you'll see some sides of people that you won't even know they have offline. So it's like a personal journal, a personal diary.
Yeah. Way. Yeah. I guess there is some validity to having them. It makes a lot of sense, but just the whole idea of our digital identities and how much of a, you know, farce they can be.
Yeah.
It's really not reflective of what people look like. I'm sure you've had that sort of weird thing that happens in our society is when you see someone online, then you meet them in person or vice versa, and you went, oh, that's what you actually look like.
Yeah.
Or that's what you actually talk like.
You have this picture of somebody when you only see them at their best.
Yeah.
You built up this sort of image, this character.
Yeah, or anyone who's ever done online dating will know what I'm talking about. When, you know, their pictures looked really good and they sound really funny, and then you meet them and they look like an entirely different person.
There's a classic catfish for you.
Yeah, generally not for the better. Yeah, no. You know, some people actually do look better in person, one in particular.
Sure. Have you ever been catfished?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. And actually a friend of mine was catfished so bad that he was driving to come pick someone up. Like, I'm here, and they're looking around because there was someone waiting who looked so much not like the person they're going to meet that they didn't know where this person was.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. That's scary stuff.
Yeah, it's really bizarre and kind of like a self-delusional thing, because, like, you are going to meet them eventually.
Yeah.
And I think it creates a very weird kind of pressure you put on yourself of kind of telling people that you look a certain way or portraying that when you actually don't.
Like, it's funny you say also you have this certain pressure that you have to put on yourself for your digital identity. It's I remember back in high school, it was almost this thing where you would want to make plans with friends to go out in certain locations and be there merely for the fact that you can snap a good picture and show the world that you're having a good time, show the world that you have friends.
Yeah, yeah.
We hold this certain expectation over us now. It's a damaging thing, and we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a little bit here on the cell phone usage that we have.
Yeah, yeah, and just talking about how pervasive these things are.
Right.
The total hours the average Canadian between the age of 18 and 35 or 34 spends a day on their phone is 4.85 hours, which is a lot. And that's the average. That's the average person between 18 and 34 spending 4.85 hours, so almost 5 hours a day, on their cell phone. And just kind of put that into more perspective, say the average person sleeps 7 hours a night. That's more than a quarter of your waking time. You know, just the math on that's 28.5. So more than a quarter, no, one quarter of your entire waking life is spent on your phone. That's insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes I feel like a lot of people just kind of normalize it, but imagine what you could do with that amount of time.
Yeah.
Like 5 hours a day doing anything.
Yeah, because most of the time it's not productive.
So no.
You could be productive on your phone. You very well could be, but majority of the people, they're not.
Yeah. And something we're going to get into later, a study we're going to talk about a little later. The lady who put it out had an interview and she's talking about how kind of the ideal amount of time for your mental health to be on your phone is like half hour to an hour.
Yeah.
So you still could be connected, but it's not being too much. Around 2 hours is when you start to see a minimal change.
Yeah.
And personally, I've found that's a pretty easy time to stick to. Like, it's not too harsh. You can still be texting and still doing everything normally. And, you know, so you're still spending 2 hours a day, but you don't really have to change a lot. Like, you still get to do all your things that you want to do.
Right.
You still Snapchat, do other things, just do them less. And you're saving, you know, almost 3 hours a day. If you spend 3 hours a day doing anything, you'll get really good at it. Like, imagine if you'd spend those 3 hours a day for 2 years, like, practicing an instrument. You would be a really good musician.
Well,
or a language.
It's so interesting that you say a quarter of our entire lifetime.
Awake
will be devoted to the cell phone.
Yes.
And then you got to start to think, well, is that the way that our future is moving towards?
Yes.
Is that literally what we're moving towards?
Yes. If you look at the trend lines, it's increasing steadily. I think it's starting to plateau off. I didn't see any specific studies for that, but I believe we're starting to plateau just because you actually can't spend much more time on your phone than we currently are while still living a regular life. Like, you know, it has been increasing, But we just can't spend more time. Otherwise, we just wouldn't be able to do anything. So it's starting to plateau just because we physically can't spend more time on the phone.
Honestly, dude, like a decade ago, what they say, the when they unveiled the iPhone, they said it would be the revolution of the phone. And it was.
Yeah.
It changed our world drastically.
Well, not even the phone, though. Because, you know, how many people actually do phone calls?
Yeah, true. Communications in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Another great book, part of that English class that I was taking, Digital Lives, is a book by Danya Boyd. It's called It's Complicated. And it says that going back to digital identities, we have to separate ourselves now because of this, you know, this future that we're moving towards where it's so technology communication based. We now have to separate ourselves where we have to block certain posts. Like I know on Snapchat, you have the ability to hide certain postings from certain people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you can do the same with posts on Facebook now.
I'm pretty sure. Facebook, yeah.
We're moving to a kind of... Because when in real life, you don't want to tell somebody something, but you want to tell somebody else something, that's how it is. You go and you see them and you tell them something, and the people that you don't want to know that, you don't tell them. So it almost seems like our future is moving towards this... Well, social media in particular is moving towards this kind of... you know, merge with real life where you can really pinpoint who your audience is.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting when these things aren't private anymore and it's no longer a choice for the individual. For example, China, they have implemented a social, like an enforced social media strategy, essentially, that is a social credit system. So based on what you do that's good or bad, your social credit will go up or down. And so depending if you have a higher or lower credit score, it can change.
Whether you're serious.
Yeah, no, this is real. They've been doing it for a little while now. It's getting more and more implemented. So I'm not sure all the details of it, but just looking at a couple little articles. So just this one on Business Insider.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
You
know what it sounds like?
1980 or like all dystopian books.
Well, yeah, but there is a specific episode of Black Mirror, Netflix's Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That literally deals with
Well, the thing is most of those episodes are based on things that are happening and they're just taken one step farther.
That is crazy.
So yeah, you can get banned from flying, banned from trains or certain sections of trains. You can get banned from good schools. You can get your internet speed throttled down. So you won't be allowed to go to top tier schools. You won't be able to get the best jobs because you're employers can see your social credit score. So if you commit a crime like fraud embezzlement, it'll affect your social credit score.
I don't know.
You can't go to the best hotels. It's people who refuse military service, it'll drop down. You get your dog taken away.
What?
Yeah.
Holy moly, guacamole.
That's so sad.
Like, it's messed up to us, but that's the way of the future. That's the way that we're going.
Yeah, because imagine having... like a Facebook that you don't get to shut off.
Yeah.
That's kind of a scary idea, and especially when it becomes enforced. But, you know, maybe people will just be nicer.
It's pretty scary considering Facebook sucks. I hate Facebook. I absolutely hate Facebook.
Yeah. Facebook. It's kind of going downhill.
It's ironic because I remember I begged my parents for Facebook, and I probably threw a tantrum for Facebook. It was a big thing, and it was, like, the biggest thing. And now it just kind of sucks. I don't know.
Huh. And now you're begging them not to be on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And now they're begging me to get on Facebook to add them.
Yeah. Do you have your parents on Facebook?
I used to, like on my old Facebook. Now my Facebook is strictly for, you know, work group chat, for school group chat, stuff like that.
Do a group chat with your parents, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. That's what I do.
Yeah. Awkward group chat.
Yeah, so... moving on here. Did you have anything else you want to add in there?
No. Well, actually, the only really like thing that I found ironic was Mark Zuckerberg actually came forth and addressed the multiple accounts, like on Facebook, having multiple accounts and multiple identities. And he is quoted as saying, having two identities for yourself is an example of a lack of integrity.
And he was saying that about having multiple Facebook accounts?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's, you know.
Isn't that funny? But then they'll also implement the thing where you can block certain audiences from viewing certain of your posts.
Also having integrity in Mark Zuckerberg, you know, I'm sure. Well, there's sure there's something to be said about that. How did that end?
I don't know.
I didn't get to the end of that.
It's been such a like disaster that it's hard to keep up.
Also, everyone just focused on little. You remember the little like seat he was? He had the booster seat and he was sitting on, and everyone focused on that. That's the main thing that everone knows about that. It was sitting on a booster seat.
All the memes were great.
It was adorable.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so let's just talk about the implications of smartphones.
I do want to say sorry, everybody. I am sick. I am sick. My my
can't
voice.
Hear it though.
My voice is a little hoarse. I don't know. I'm gonna be coughing throughout.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah, well. What can you do?
You're just gonna have to deal with it.
You're gonna have to deal with it. That's exactly what you're gonna have to do.
So yeah, I did talk about the implications of smartphones because anyone who knows me in real life knows that I'm constantly complaining about cell phones and how bad they are.
You are.
And I'm just a grumpy old man when it comes to these things.
A little bit.
Yeah.
The age gap really shows there.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm 24, and smartphones didn't become really popular until like late high school for me. I don't think Snapchat came out 2012. Don't quote me on that one. It started to get popular.
Like around there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it started to get really popular just as I was leaving school, and there was no Tinder or anything while I was in high school. I'm really thankful for that. That'd just be, I couldn't imagine that. That'd be so weird. And like people didn't have really good cameras on their phones. There wasn't a ton. Like people didn't really have a lot of smartphones with a lot of social media. Like it started to become near the end. And actually, this leads into what I want to talk about. So. Jean Twenge, she was interviewed on NPR, and she recently spearheaded a research project about teen mental health and cell phones, and she was saying kind of the optimal age that's realistic for teens to get cell phones now is 14. You know, obviously getting them later probably would be a good thing, just because you're a little more emotionally and intellectually developed to handle the pressures of them, you know. Grade 8 kids say some pretty stupid things, and if those get sent out to whoever, get put all over Facebook, I'm sure you said some stupid things in
grade
8.
Well, you know what? Funny story. it's somewhat involving me because it involved my grade 8 class, but I wasn't directly involved with this. But there was an app that was they don't know yet, so Sam, come on.
Allegedly.
Don't do me like that. in grade 8, there was this, when I was in grade 8, so this would be 2014, there was this really popular app, AskFM.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember AskFM?
I don't know if we had AskFM, but it was like an early version of that, where it was like anonymous, people asking things anonymously, right?
It led to a lot of conflict. It was to the point where like the principal had to come and lecture our class, and the police actually got
involved. Yeah, did you ever hear of Yik Yak?
No.
So I think that was a slightly older version of that, where it would just be based on your geographical area, you could just say things. And so it was just essentially like screaming in the street, the digital version of that. So it was based on like your certain area. You just say something and it would just be like this huge thing and people could upvote. But people would call in fake bomb threats. They would call people out for things they either did or did not do. And like you were saying, it became like a huge online bullying thing. Police got involved. You know, it was just mayhem.
My high school had a fake bomb threat.
Yeah, we had lots of those.
It's weird how people are inclined to do that.
Yeah, thankfully, in Canada, we don't actually have a lot of real bomb threats and shootings.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, that is, that's real wood right there.
I think it's real wood, let's hope.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but thankfully they were all just, you know, unfounded all bomb threats.
False.
But
no, what's, I think what Jean Twenge is saying is, it's really interesting. Gene
Twenge.
My apologies.
Great name, though.
That last name is strong. It's strong. Mm. So she's talking about cell phones in particular, right?
Yeah, and having them as kind of later than earlier. So, and she was saying specifically that like grade 9, grade 10 age, I think that's 14, I think that's about that age, is when you start, that's kind of when the mental health issues start to drop off later in life. So.
Or if the brains are as plastic.
Right? Yeah. Still got a lot of brain plasticity going on at that age, too. But it's specifically just being able to... there's studies showing that people who get cell phones kind of at the 8th grade mark versus the 10th grade mark showed significantly more problems with cell phone use later on in life and other behavioral issues.
Hmm.
So it's like that few-year difference can make a pretty big impact, and kind of waiting for kids to adopt them just a little bit later does make a big difference.
I'll do you one more than that, though. Does it have to be a cell phone? Because I got an iPod Touch in grade 6. I think it was the first one I got.
and still have those?
They actually still make them, and it's weird because they're tailoring them for children.
Really? Yeah. Oh yeah, because they don't want them to have cell phones.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. You don't want a monthly plan, but you literally have everything that a cell phone has minus a calling ability. But you can still call and FaceTime and stuff. So like, they're still tailoring.
They still sell them, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're still making them. We sell them at Staples. I work at Staples.
Oh, nice! Shout out to Staples.
Shout out to Staples. They still make them, and they're tailoring them to children.
They've got 8-megapixel cameras,
and it's weird because they are packed with the exact same things a cell phone would have. Yeah. Social media, social communications.
And the thing is, too, is very few people actually use the cellular part. Like, and there's a lot of ways to get around it. So I did say texting, but for phone calls, a lot of people don't do that. Mm-hmm. For texting, though, there's a lot of ways to get around that. You just use WhatsApp, anything else, Messenger, yeah. Snapchat. Yeah. So it's really, you know, still a worker. It's just kind of a workaround.
Yeah. The cell phone and...
Just prank.
It's not about the cell phone. I think it's about social communication. Yeah. You can access social communication anywhere now. Yeah. The laptop, you know, the iPod, it's creepy. And there's talking about creepy. Have you seen Shane Dawson's new documentary?
I don't. What is that?
He's a YouTuber on YouTube, and he's been making these really good documentaries. I recommend them. And he recently actually started talking about conspiracy theories. And one of them was talking about how apps on the cell phone can monitor you. I think you had a point there.
Yeah, yeah. Right? They definitely. I'm gonna double check Instagram. I think was doing audio listening.
Yeah. See, so he was talking. Shane Dawson in his documentary, he was talking and showcasing an app called Zepeto, which is like this fun game. It's almost like, you know, like the old Wii system where you can make a Mii character. And it looks like you, and it resembles you.
Yeah.
Similar to that, you can create a virtual character, and it's roaming around in this free roam game. But if you listen closely on your phone, there's a white noise in the background indicating that the microphone is on. So, I mean, who's listening? You know, that's a big question. And like you said, Instagram, too. Like, it's not just these small developer apps. We're talking about big corporation apps, too, like Instagram.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at a global news thing here. They're saying that it may be a little overblown because people always get these ads. I'm sure you've experienced this, where you get an ad directly targeted to something you've been talking about with your friends. Yep. Of like, hey, let's go kayaking or something. And you go on your computer or something later today, you see ads for kayaks. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that you may not be listened to. Well, this is what, you know, is officially being said. There's just a lot of keywords going on, but it's still a little bit creepy.
Well, no. Well, like, that's the whole thing. Shane Dawson touched this on in his documentary as well. But, like, if it's just keyword-based, then doesn't that mean that they're always listening? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not sure how much they can actually do, like, doing the actual listening on your phone. Because I think mine, at least, says it'll notify me when the microphone's being used. Yeah. So I think there's kind of ways around that.
And it'll notify you on the iPhone too, but, you know, are they telling the truth? That it's a big world. It's a big scary world out there.
Yeah, well,
we're consumers who desire social communication. That's in us. So yeah. When we have them so instantaneously, well, we're not going to care what the fine print says. Who's actually read the fine print on any of these apps that we use?
The Apple iTunes update that you're required to update every 3 to 4 hours, and every time there's like 40 pages of, you know, legal notifications that you just say, I agree. Like, the amount of pages we've agreed to, but kind of back to your point about things that are people, corporations listening to us. Yeah. I think that, you know, whether they are or they aren't is kind of a small drop in the bucket compared to what we share voluntarily. Yeah. Like, what people post voluntarily and what you say on Messenger. Like, when you talk on Messenger, that's a private company handling that for you. They can do what they want with that. They can, pretty sure they can turn that over to the police. They can do whatever they want. Right. And just the amount of information that you give them willingly, they really don't need to listen to you that much. It's just the amount of people that people overshare.
Yeah, they have it already. Because it's going back to, you know, our digital identities and how we create ourselves and we write ourselves into this online sphere now. Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah, and so
we're so easy to share.
So just come back to Jean Twenge here, great name. So she was talking about the amount you're using your cell phone and the risk for mental health issues and suicide risk. And so she was saying about the half hour to an hour a day where there seems to be like the optimal spot where there doesn't really seem to be any correlation with more mental health risk. But she was saying, so 2 hours is only a slightly elevated risk. And I think that one's very reasonable for people to do, you know, get that time down. I use a tracking app right now on my Android because I think the newer Androids and iPhones have built-in tracking.
Yeah, the newest update has tracking.
Does it help you reduce your amount of time?
Yeah, it actually gives you tips on how you can take it down.
Which I think that's kind of funny because that's like your drug dealer telling you you probably should, you know, stop doing so many drugs.
Yeah.
When the guy that you're going to get what you're getting is going, okay, man, maybe...
He's like, yo, take it in.
Yeah, take a weekend back. Off, on, you know. Yeah, that's a bit much when the companies selling these things are realizing that you're using them too much.
Well, I mean, for them, we're just, what, maybe a drop in the bucket?
Drop in the bucket.
Like, the extra, that just means that we're already exceeding the amount of time that they need us.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, she was saying, so once you get to 3 hours a day and beyond, that's where you see a pronounced increase in at least one suicide risk factor. And then above 5 hours showed a very strong correlation with risk factors of suicide in teens.
But what causes that, do you think?
So that's another tricky thing. It's like, what came first, chicken or the egg? The depression symptoms. Like, are people depressed and then going on their phone because they're depressed? Or is it causing that?
Yeah.
Looking at some of the information, there's a lot of correlations that don't necessarily prove causation.
Yeah.
So if you take a look at, in our article again, Gene Twenge is saying that if you look around, it was like the 2011, 2012 mark, there's a dramatic uptick in the amount of teens that have cell phones and specifically smartphones. Smartphones with social media on them. And if you plot the prevalence of teen mental health issues, they're very closely linked.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it's not a controlled experiment. It doesn't prove causation, but there shows there's definitely a link there, or probably a link.
Well, I mean, like, I think everybody knows about these articles, but there are studies posted now saying how the use of the cell phone and the smartphone in social communications, it unlocks the same parts of the mind that other addictions unlock, right? So like drug use and... stimulants that kind of release that euphoria. So, I mean, if those studies are true...
What studies?
Studies essentially saying... The one that I read that was really, like... It was kind of out there, but it said using the cell phone is similar to using cocaine. I know, and it's out there.
I'm going to say...
I know.
I'm going to say probably not. Write it.
Listen, Sam, hear me out.
Was this a published study?
It is. Everybody knows it. Everybody and their mother knows it. But essentially, it says how it unlocks the same kind of euphoria. Because think about it. We're clicking, right? We're clicking, we're liking. Every time you get a notification, you jump and you get excited. Mm-hmm. There's this thing called phantom vibrations where people are now expecting a notification. Because that's what they want. That's what they need now in this, you know, totally digital age, right?
To be fair, though, I would say that cocaine addiction and cell phone addiction are very different. You know, the reward pathways, you know, may be similar, but I think, you know, it's like people will say that like chocolate and shopping also activate the same pathways as cocaine.
That's exactly what my cognitive psychology prof actually said. He said, he's like, it's ridiculous to say that chocolate, because he used that exact same thing. It's ridiculous to say that chocolate unlocks the same types of...
Yeah, not many people will...
Does. Because, well, yeah, it does, but, like, not to the same degree.
Yeah, I just want to be careful when people are talking about those. There's a really good comic talking about the science news cycle, and pretty much shows that, like, there'll be a study that shows there's a potential correlation...
But a minuscule
there's, like, a minor... Like a there's minuscule. A weak correlation that shows there may be a correlation in specific situations in rats.
Yeah, and not even, yeah.
Yeah.
Emphasis on rats.
And then someone hears about it and they're like, oh, this causes this. And then someone goes, oh, this always causes this in humans. And next thing you know, you're listening to the CBC and they're telling you that drinking a glass of red wine is the same as exercising for a half hour.
Another one that my cognitive psychology class professor told us, he's like, what was it? The article was, farts can cure cancer because of a very far correlation, causation, minuscule possibility done on rats.
Well, you have it here, folks. Hey, farts cure cancer.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I mean, don't quote us. I mean,
or do. You know, they do.
Good.
Please don't. Please don't.
To the listeners who have our communications on the cell phone, do we sound distorted? How's it sound?
I'm listening to us right now. We sound all right. But yeah, right? If anyone can give us some feedback.
Yeah, give us some feedback. Distortion. Those who know
it is so contacts. Nasty outside right now. But anyway, so I just want to talk about a really interesting article. That this one is actually a published primary article here. And it's showing a correlation, again, not causation, between neuroticism, self-esteem issues, impulsivity, self-identity issues, self-image issues, sleep disturbances, anxiety issues, stress issues, and to a lesser extent, depression issues associated with internet abuse, which have been associated with problematic cell phone use. So this is showing an increase in internet and cell phone use and increased risk of these. But it's hard to know, are you spending more time on your phone because you're depressed, yeah, or what's causing what? But there's definitely a concern there. And I personally know for myself of monitoring my phone use when I have crappy, unproductive days, like you don't get enough sleep, yeah, I find I'm on my phone a lot more. Yeah. So, for example, I found if I was ever hungover, I would use my phone a lot more. So that the hangover was the precedent. So it was showing that my phone use increased from something else. So it's showing that this phone use was an increase from being hungover.
Sort of like a comfort blanket, eh?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But it's like the cell phone use didn't cause the hangover. So you can definitely see the causation there. So I think we should be very cautious of blaming cell phones for all these things, but also very aware that there is this relationship between the two,
yeah,
that isn't entirely understood.
I just got a text message from Arslan.
Yeah.
Shout out to Arslan. He says we sound great.
Oh, thanks, Arslan. You sound great, too.
I also got a shout out from my girlfriend's mom, who's listening. She said that we sound great, too. So.
Aw.
Shout out.
I wonder if I got it.
Did Zephyr say anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Got a few people saying we sound good. All right. Thanks for people actually listening.
There we go. Yeah. Well, thank you to our listeners. We have a little bit of a audience. We have
five people.
We have merch coming out.
Is my mom listening? Mom, you listening? I think she's at work.
But what were we talking about before? I had a point and I lost it.
I was just kind of looking at some of the studies that we'd looked up for this.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I have a point.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how there's an increase in rates of depression.
Yeah.
So I will give my two cents on that. Coming out of high school last year,
mm-hmm,
it was very social media oriented.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the kind of social credibility that people had in high school came from their credibility of, you know, how many followers you have. And it's crappy to even say, and I think they don't like to admit it. I think in high school, the students don't like to admit it. But social media is like a big part of being a high school student.
Yeah.
So like, and one example I will give is that if you don't get a certain amount of likes, like there's always this competition of how many likes you can get. If you didn't get that certain amount of likes, you would kind of feel crappy about yourself. Why did this person get this many more likes? Well, then this person must look more better than me. You know, there's that sort of mentality amongst high school students now. And I think it's a very scary thing because talking back to how, like, you know, the iPod Touch is being tailored to younger students, I'm finding that, like, there's a lot of, you know, young kids using these social media apps that aren't necessarily all the, you know, they're not necessarily perfect. They're not necessarily healthy.
Yeah, there was actually a article in Time magazine. I'm not going to give them, they're not a great magazine. I don't want to give them a ton of credit for, you know, being good journalists. But there was this kid
who... You just dragged Time magazine through the dirt.
Well, they have terrible, like, outbound pop-up ads.
They're going to come for you so hard, Sam.
Yeah, I don't... Not a big fan. But anyway, that aside, so they had posted this article about a 19-year-old kid who tried to kill themselves after they weren't getting enough selfies. Or they weren't taking good enough selfies.
Sorry, what was it? Say it again.
So there's this 19-year-old kid, Danny Bowman, reportedly attempted suicide after they said that they weren't, their selfies weren't turning out the way they wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
So, wow, here's one quote saying, "I was constantly in search of taking the perfect selfie, and when I realized I couldn't, I wanted to die," Bowman told the Daily Mirror. "I lost my friends, my education, my health, and almost my life. I nearly overdosed on pills, but his mother intervened and helped keep him alive." Bowman's case extreme, yes, but psychiatrists are beginning to consider selfie addiction as a serious mental illness. So that you know, things are moving that way, but currently the DSM-5, it's not in the DSM-5.
It's gonna be. Like, that's my two cents, my prediction.
The DSM-6.
It's definitely gonna be integrated, because there's so many initiatives now for mental health, because they realize that social media is not the most healthy thing. And the thing is, everybody's using it.
Yeah.
And it's not an exactly healthy thing.
Well, the interesting thing you're talking about is people having these expectations for likes. And I can say that I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have Instagram on my phone. I've posted on Instagram like 4 times in the past 2 years. I don't really check pictures afterwards. I know people that will have all their notifications on every time they get a like. Like, I don't know how many likes I get. Not saying like I'm bragging. I think that luckily I grew up in a time that I got cell phones kind of at a later date, so it's not as ingrained into me.
And we're only 5 years apart. I'm 19, you're 24.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how 5 years makes all the difference?
I'm the last generation that avoided that. I'm actually really, really thankful. So that like 14, 15 is when I was recommended to get smartphones. That's when I got a smartphone, roughly. Actually, a bit later when I got like a good smartphone.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's so crazy. That's crazy.
You know, good time to be born to miss out on all that stuff.
You were just born in the nick of time, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, mom and dad.
If they waited one, maybe
it would have been real messed up.
1 year.
Thanks. Yeah. I would have been at way higher risk for anxiety. Not saying it causes it, but you know, there's some correlation there.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about addiction.
Yeah.
The person and the smartphone and addiction. I think we have so much power at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
The accessibility to so much power and so much knowledge. News spreads fast. I mean, instant communication really is instantaneous. And I know maybe I'm beating a dead horse here with, you know, the whole fake news, but it's true. I mean, group mentality sticks and it catches and it spreads like fire.
Yeah.
It's a pretty dangerous thing. Fake news, fake articles. The amount of times, actually, you know what's really funny? You know The Onion?
Yes, yes, yes.
People actually get dubbed by that.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, I've done it to a couple friends where I'll send them the title and they believe it from the article title alone. You know,
they're too busy. It's because they're on their cell phone. They weren't even looking.
There you go.
So there's another interesting article here. So there's evaluation of mobile phone addiction level on sleep quality in university students. So I'm not sure exactly how they determined the addiction level. I think it was just by the amount of hours they spent a day. But they're showing that sleep quality worsened with the increasing mobile phone addiction level.
Well, you got to be careful, because they also could have been exposed to more blue light.
Yeah,
which
so...
Which could have contributed to that.
Exactly. They didn't really control for that. But they're showing a number of phone issues. And I think a lot of it, a big thing too, comes from people being on their phones too late at night, regardless of the blue light.
Yeah.
Just having that constant social interaction.
Well, it just sparks the mind.
And then it's crazy the amount of people that don't turn their phone off or don't turn it on silent. Like, I've called people, like, later at night and their phone goes off. And I was like, they're like, you woke me up. I was like, why would you not turn your phone on silent if you're sleeping?
Well, I have mine on.
How important are you?
I have mine on because my alarm. Right?
Yeah, but
because my alarm won't buzz. I won't hear my alarm.
There's ways you can fix that.
Perhaps, but I'd probably have to... Well, I guess I could...
It's not that hard to fix.
No, it's not that hard, actually. You caught me.
Yeah,
you
wait.
You caught me.
So, if I called you at, like, any hour, your phone would go off?
No, not during the day. During classes, during the day, I typically...
But, I mean, if you're sleeping...
I'm actually opposite. I actually have my... I have it on silence during the day.
So, say this weekend, I really, really miss you.
Yeah, which you will.
I'm going to miss you. It's going to... I'm not going to see you for a few days. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call you at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Your phone's going to go off.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm not going to wake up, though. I'm a pretty heavy sleeper.
Well, so, luckily you, but still, it's so bad so bad for your sleep.
Yeah, it is for your sleep. Bad for some people who are light sleepers.
Yeah, and so, again, talking about addiction, so one of the parts of addiction is you have to realize that it's a problem. So it's causing distress.
Yeah.
That's one of the key foundations of diagnosing addiction. So, and there's a really interesting Pew poll that was asking, I believe it was American teens, and 54% of teens say they spend too much time on their phones, which is really concerning because this is not parents saying their kids spend too much time. It's not society being like, you should do more something more useful with your life. These are teens admitting that they think they spend too much time on their phone.
We're self-aware. And you know what? The interesting thing is a lot of times people who are addicted are self-aware.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's really interesting. So, you know, people may think like, oh, kids think they should do more with their lives or be more productive. A quarter of people only said they spend too many time on video games. So it's not just a technology thing. And actually 22% that said they spend too little time on video games. So that tells you that people actually enjoy video games. Like they want to play more video games. Yeah. They're enjoying it. Whether it's like productive or not, doesn't really seem to be a big part of it. It's showing that teens are on their phones and they don't want to be. Like, that's a serious problem.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Social media isn't a fun place to be in. Like, we feel obligated to keep our Instagrams updated. But it's... I'm going to sound like an old guy. Like, and we're in no way bashing people who use cell phones. I use my cell phone. I use social media.
I've never used a cell phone.
Regularly. I know. You're stuck in the old... No.
I have a rotary phone.
We're not trying to bash. We're not trying to be idealistic. What we're trying to do is we're trying to, you know, shed to light that it's not the most fun thing. As a user myself, it's not always fun having to constantly worry about...
First step is admitting it.
Yeah, there we go. I'm already in the process.
So, there you go.
I'm golden.
So another interesting thing out of this Pew poll is 9 out of 10 teens said that cell phone addiction is a serious issue. I just heard sirens in the back and there's feedback in the headphones.
There are sirens in the back.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, roughly 9 in 10 teens view spending too much time online as a problem facing their age. So it's almost unanimous that, you know, teens think it's a problem.
Yeah, no, it is a problem.
I guess you're a teen too. That's pretty, that's you.
Technically, but not really.
Yeah.
You're pushing it.
But so this isn't like, you know, parents, this isn't administration, this isn't the government, this isn't the man telling people that they need to get off their cell phones and do more.
Yeah.
This is people collectively realizing it's a problem in and of itself, which is very concerning.
I will now go to our article, which is a little tragic. It's a little bit of a tragic article here.
Mm.
But it perfectly encapsulates what we've been talking about, what we have been talking about. So I'll just read it off line by line. Boy, this is the title. Boy 13 dies in negative 24 degrees Celsius blizzard after running away from home when his parents took away his phone.
Yeah.
Very tragic. That's very tragic. But as much as it is tragic, it's also very telling of the social technologies, the effects that it's having on our generations today and the generations that are coming for the future. You know, it's a... We have this essence of dependency that we as a generation feel. And maybe not you. You got out in the nick of time. But I know for like my generation.
I was using it a lot more.
Were you?
Yeah.
So how'd you cut down? Because that's a really important thing to be able to detach from the cell phone.
So, actually, I just opened my phone. I got distracted really fast.
Yeah.
So... I was using tracking apps because I find what gets measured gets managed. So when you realize how much time you're spending on your phone, whether you're actively doing anything about it or not, I feel that will help people be like realize how much time they're spending on their phone because it's so easy to not realize it. So when you realize you're spending 4 to 5 hours a day and you're seeing it using an app tracker, so I guess most new phones have them. I'm not sure how good the functionality is on those. My phone's a bit older because, you know, that's me. The app I'm using is called Your Hour. So it's on Android. I think...
Not sponsored.
No. I think the iOS is way more stingy. I remember a couple of years ago, I briefly had an iPhone and they would not allow me to track my usage. That was not... Like, there was no... You had to jailbreak it to install something.
Yeah, they've completely changed that.
Yeah,
now.
So
they've
now
actually incorporated something. Like
yeah, so now they have something. I'm not sure how good it is. I really like this. So what I've been doing recently is I set limitations on different apps. So for example, Snapchat I have on my phone, but I have only 15 minutes a day on it, which goes by really fast, and I just can't use it anymore. So, and I have an hour on texting.
Got to get those snaps in fast.
Exactly. So I have an hour on texting, and it'll tell me how much time. So at 58 minutes, I'll tell my friends, be like, hey, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm up.
So you have an hour in texting.
Yeah.
But what if it's urgent? What if it's something urgent?
Phone call.
A phone call, eh?
Yep. If anything's urgent, you don't need to text it.
So it's actually interesting that you said that about your kind of limiting your texting, because going back to the article and why he felt the need to go out into this blizzard, why he was so enraged and he felt so debilitated by his parents taking away his phone. Well, really, taking away the phone for our generation, the future generations, it's in a way taking away the privilege for a speech. It's taking away a privilege of communication.
Yeah.
You know, that's heavy stuff.
Which is interesting, because if you never had a cell phone and then you weren't allowed to have a cell phone, you wouldn't care.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. These children are getting introduced to cell phones and iPods and social communication and instant communications so young now. Very young.
Yeah.
And the question is, well, what's it doing on our... what's it doing on our psyche?
What could go wrong?
Before... what we are currently living in our digital age now. There was this thing called Web 1.0, where it was just the traditional web page. It allowed very little interaction, and it was just simply, you know, information on the internet.
Yeah.
Then Web 2.0 unrolled, and that came with smartphones, and it transitioned, and it designed to allow new levels of user interaction. So that's instant communication, you know, you got chat boards, you know, sites like Reddit, stuff like that. So the question is, what is Web 3.0 going to be like? What are we going to be experiencing in a step further from instantaneous communication?
It's going to upload your mind into the internet.
Do you think? You know, there are theories out there.
Well, Elon Musk is working on Neuralink.
I think it's far out there. I'm going to be honest.
He said, so in his interview with Joe Rogan, this is a few months back, and he said in the next, what did he say, 6 months or something, that he'd be dropping a... he's not going to be dropping a new album. He's going to be releasing some...
Freshest album of 2019.
He's going to be dropping some hints about updates in the Neuralink. So it's his way to connect your brain directly into computers. I'm not sure if he's just hyping that up, but, you know...
I hope he's hyping that up, because that is the one step further. That is the large leap for man right there.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. We're now integrating our consciousness into technology.
And women. And women, too. And everyone.
I said man with M-A-N, actually.
What?
M-A-N. Human. That's what I mean. Human. Not men. Why are you laughing? You know what? Actually, funny story.
Is man short for human?
Well, that's how I perceive it.
Okay.
I guess. Well, that's how I grew up with, because I remember... Maybe I've grown up with it wrong my whole life, but I'll tell you why. Here's a backstory.
I don't think man is short for human.
When I grew up in a Catholic, in a Catholic school, and when I was doing homework, we were reading Bible passages, and I asked my mom, I'm like, why does the Bible always reference to humans as man?
Yeah.
Are they excluding girls? That's what I asked my mom.
Yeah.
She goes, oh no, man is a reference to human. Makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. So anybody else, they're wrong. Anybody else's opinion, they're wrong. Because my mom's
like, yeah, you can't go against your mom.
You absolutely cannot.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sam.
My mom didn't tell me, so I got there a different thing.
But no, that's a scary thought. Web 3.0 and the integration of...
your brain's just going to be in it.
Yeah, we're just... The Matrix, essentially.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
Not really.
You haven't seen the movie? It's exactly what that is. It's kind of the integration between them.
Well, an interesting thing is I kind of want to end this off on a positive note and talking about the potential positives for, you know, web use and cell phone use. And
yeah, we don't want to sound like old kooks kind of saying, yeah, get off the smartphone.
I think it's a bit too late for that, but...
we don't want to evoke that. We want to create a positive relationship between your phone, because it is now a mandate to kind of be connected.
It's they are useful.
They are very useful, and it's hard to live without it. So,
I looked up the studies I had on about how cell phones are bad for you. I looked up some of them on my cell phone.
There you go.
So you can use your cell phone
to
inform you.
They are not necessarily evil, but... We can definitely take a more positive approach.
Essentially, more than 2 hours a day, you really want to be cutting back. Use the apps in your you know, that are already on your phone or download them. You have an iPhone, who knows? iPhones are evil, but, you know, that's an aside.
you're treading on risky lines there.
No, I'm not. Anyway, have them remind you, lock you out, try that out. And I think, you know, the data is out there showing that people who spend less time, whether it causes it or not, it's definitely worth a try. I haven't seen any convincing studies that show that excessive cell phone use has benefits. Haven't seen that. Pretty much all the evidence out so far shows negatives of excessive cell phone use. It's like if this was video games or anything else, and people are like, well, playing too many video games is bad for you, you'd probably cut back. Yeah. But I think people are just so married to their cell phone. But yeah, just like cut back to, you know, 2.5 hours a day. It's not super hard. You can still do your Snapchat. You can still do everything else. And that's when you start to really drop the risk levels for mental health problems. Yeah. And you don't really have to change your life that much.
No, I mean,
and you have more time. Imagine what you can do 2.5 hours a day.
That's a quarter of your awake life.
No, it's an eighth.
No, it's a quarter. I thought it was a quarter.
Two and a half. If you dropped it by.
Oh yeah.
If you dropped it in half.
I'm throwing it back. I mean.
The full 5 hours.
Yeah. That's what we're at stake right now. So
yeah.
What's at stake right now. So.
Yeah, and I think like. You can get so much more done with an extra 2.5 hours a day.
Absolutely.
People are like, how do you get so much done?
Think about how much I say, yo, Sam, I procrastinated on this.
Yeah. You procrastinate for an extra 2.5 hours
each like
day.
I procrastinated on Instagram looking at memes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Were they good memes?
They're pretty good memes.
Oh, we forgot our joke of the day.
The meme of the day.
Yeah. So, Eric, why did Ivan Pavlov have soft hair?
I don't know, Sam. Tell me why.
He classically conditioned it.
Oh, what a way to end off our episode, huh?
For people who don't know much about psychology, Ivan Pavlov was one of the key founders of classical conditioning. Terrible, terrible, terrible joke.
Okay, we are going to end off our episode here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. It was a pretty good discussion. What do you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. The song's 3.5 minutes.
We are trying to get the instrumental to our theme song.
Yeah.
For the outro, because we want to perfect this outro.
Yeah, we do need to work on the outro.
We do have to work on the...
I think this is a pretty good outro.
There we go.
One quick thing before we go. Jean Twen, she does have a TED Talk. I think it's called iGen. Check out some of her stuff. And she actually does have a pretty positive message in the end there, saying that, you know, kids are probably going to survive, you know, there's a lot we should know about, and now that all this information is coming out, we can use that to our advantage. It's not
just be positive impossible. with your phones, essentially, is the message.
Yeah. Go outside, go for a walk.
Well, the theme song is not playing on our browser, so we are just going to do it dry, without any music in the background. That wraps up our episode for today.
We should just sing the outro song.
Yeah, if you want to sing in the background.
Oh, no.
That wraps up our episode for today. We hope you learned something new. We covered lots today. And if you wanted to check out what we talked about more in depth, you can check out our show links to see all the references that we talked about. Be sure to join us for our next episode, Wednesday, February 27th. That's after the winter break. To the university students listening, have a great break.
Oh, are we going to have a guest? Possibly going to have a guest?
Possibly. Look out for that. We will...
It's going to be a surprise guest if we have a guest.
Maybe surprise guest.
Going to keep you on the edge of your seats.
We're in the works with one. He's a really cool guy.
We promise.
We promise he's a
really cool
guy.
Really cool. 10 out of 10 cool.
Hopefully we get him on. As always, my name is Eric.
And I'm Sam.
And this has been your Psychology Today for a Smarter Tomorrow. It's students helping students on the Scholars Podcast. Thank you and good night.